Good morning, everyone. My name's Cassie Findlay. I'm Project Manager, Digital Archives, First State Records. It's a pleasure to be here today to talk about a new initiative from State Records, OpenGov New South Wales. So Dawn and Sonia mentioned the state plan, and it was really pleasing to see that one of the major elements of the state plan when it came out was all about accountability, was all about availability of information, trustworthiness of that information, and opening government up to scrutiny. And indeed, within the state plan, Goal 31, there's a specific goal to increase access to government information, and one of the ways the plan indicated that this would happen was by further development and improvement of a website called Publications New South Wales. And it's Publications New South Wales that has now become and has been relaunched as OpenGov, and that's what I'm talking about today. But I wanted to put it in context and maybe kind of give you an indication of why I'm talking about OpenGov, but I'm from Digital Archives and what's Digital Archives all about and how does that fit into what State Records does. Many of you who've been coming to the Records Managers Forums for some time would know all about the future-proof strategy. This was established in 2007 and it really underpins what State Records has been doing to improve digital record keeping across government since then. The goals of the future-proof strategy are to ensure that we're all documenting our business using digital systems to create evidence of our business that is trustworthy and usable in digital forms, that the risks around the creation and management and use of digital information are managed, and that people have access to digital records whether it's immediately after their creation in agencies or more broadly down the track for wider societal uses, and that the state's digital archives are identified and protected, preserved and made available. And that last point is where I come in and where the Digital Archives Project comes in. This project was established in early 2011. And we're now at a point with it where we have got a range of elements well underway, and we're tracking towards more formally launching all of those elements in the middle of this year. What are those elements? They are a very high quality, robust technical infrastructure for the storage and protection of digital information. So storage solution that we've implemented at our Kingswood site with full backup and recovery options as well. A methodology for the migration of digital records into the digital archive, which is being currently tested out on a range of pilot digital archives projects. I do hope very soon to come and talk to you in more detail about those digital archives projects. I'm just giving you a sort of flavour for what's happening in the project to make the link to what's happening with OpenGov. But they're very exciting. We're working on migrating digital archives that range from very large and complex databases through to quite small and manageable sets of digital files, and everything in between, audiovisual materials, very kind of exotic and little known formats to your typical Microsoft Office formats. So the work we're doing on the methodology and the technical tools and infrastructure is all leading up to a point, as I say, in the middle of this year where we will be able to say we're now open for business and we're able to have digital archives migrated into our system from across government. Obviously, a big part of the Digital Archives Project is about providing an environment in which those digital records that are migrated to us are preserved, are accessible, and are trustworthy. And really, that's not something that is, those are not things that we only want for the records that are identified as state archives that you might typically think of in your own experience. But we want that for government information in all its guises, where it is relied upon by the general public and by government. And so that means the kinds of publications that you will find agencies releasing on their websites yearly, such as annual reports, strategic plans, policy documents and the like. So for us, it seemed a very natural fit for a website that was about making available these critically important government publications to sit with the preservation infrastructure that would allow that digital government information to be trusted and protected and usable for the very long term. And so to OpenGov itself. For those of you who remember Publications New South Wales, it'll be a little bit familiar. This is a site comprising, it's a searchable online repository comprising at present over 2,000 titles of published New South Wales government information, both contemporary and historical. So we have a variety of different types of government publications from, as I said, annual reports, but also strategic plans. We've even got an information flyer from the Centennial Park Trust. What's on in 2013 in autumn in the Centennial Park? The scope of the site is not just for the sort of formal annual report type documents, but it has been expanded out as per the advice in the state plan to encompass information that government agencies release under the Government Information Public Access or GIPA Act, particularly what is called open access information under GIPA. So every New South Wales government organisation has this obligation to make available a certain standard set of information, policy documents, strategic plans, registers of interests, that kind of thing, to make that available on their website. The OpenGov website is there as a place for that kind of information to be captured and retained and made available over time, as well as annual reports and indeed other government publications that your agency puts out on the web. Some of the interesting publications and sets of publications that we have at present include some of the older materials, so a run of public works annual reports dating right back into the late 19th century. Again, similarly, police annual reports for a long swathe of time back into the early 20th century. Recently, we migrated all the New South Wales Government gazettes from 2001 to the present into the site. And we've also had a whole set of what was the Child Welfare Department annual reports from the 50s, 60s and 70s migrated into the site, which is of course a fantastic resource given what's happening federally with the Royal Commission and in New South Wales with the Royal Commission as well. So it's got a whole lot of varieties of government information and importantly information and publications from universities and from local government. It's not just state government agencies that you will find. I upload content to this website. Why use OpenGov? What do we see as its real value for you as information records managers in New South Wales? Well, certainly, the government sees this very much as a way that you can publish information to the web and meet your obligations under annual reporting and GIPA legislation. And you can even do that exclusively to OpenGov and simply link to OpenGov from your own website. We see this as being perhaps particularly useful for smaller agencies and agencies that maybe have a light web management team that would rather sort of push that responsibility for maintaining that information to somebody else. We have the advantage being the state archives and that we already track administrative change in government. We're the only people that do it, and so we know, for example, that the building we're in now We're in the Department of Finance and Services, but in the last 10 years it's had, I think, four name changes, and we've tracked all of those. And so we can actually link government information, annual reports and the like, to the agency that was the correct agency at the time that publication came out. We use agency data from our archival control system in OpenGov to that purpose. So we're really taking advantage of that over time perspective that State Records has. We take the responsibility for keeping these government publications and GIPA releases accessible and trustworthy over time. So we're using the tools that we're developing in the state, the Digital Archives program, to make sure that formats remain readable, to make sure that there's adequate metadata, that things can be found easily by users and so on. As I said, because we're taking advantage of agency information in our archival control systems, we have exciting possibilities, particularly once the digital archives that we're ingesting now come up for open access, of people being able to search across government information in a whole range of formats. They might do a search and find published information for the Department of Finance and Services and a digital record keeping system that was captured as a state archive, and also linked to information about paper records held at State Records. So you get a much more holistic view of that agency's information. And I guess, and it's not actually a dot point there, but one thing that I sort of promote very strongly to people is we all have these obligations in our agencies to keep certain information up and available to the public and people that visit our site. And over time, that can become quite burdensome and unwieldy to keep all of that legacy information. And I'm sure that many of you have had that experience of someone saying, why can't I now access the 2006 annual report on your website anymore? What have you done with it? Or, you know, where is that GIPA release that you used to have? Why have you taken it down? Are you doing something, you know, sinister? So we provide that over time legacy set of government information to take that burden away from you. So what we're saying is you can publish current stuff and then maintain the older material with us as well. And I should also note, in a more formal sense, there is some government advice coming out soon in the form of a circular about OpenGov and encouraging agencies to use it and providing some practical information about how to use it. So we're kind of regarding, well, ever since we launched the site late last year, it's a soft launch phase. There will be a more formal government advice coming out about it soon. For you as someone in an agency who might want to upload content to OpenGov, it's a very easy process. You acquire a login and a password, which happens very quickly once you supply your details to us. And once you are a user of the site, this just shows you an example of your sort of dashboard where you can see all the content that you've already uploaded, whether it's draft or it's been published, when it was published, so you can make sure you're not re-uploading stuff that you've already sent through. And over on the right-hand side, you'll see link to OpenGov and a URL. That's a URL for your agency's content that you can then paste into your own website, perhaps have a link saying, see our content on OpenGov, see our older publications on OpenGov, and that link will take people to your content for your agency specifically. And if you are, if you are actually registering a publication, again, it's very quick and easy to do. There are a minimal number of fields. Some of them are auto-populated, and the only mandatory ones are title, agency, and date published. Although, of course, being fans of metadata, we would encourage you to add type, tags, and as I said, there are some auto-populated things. For example, the copyright, which we assume will generally be with the State of New South Wales, And also, I would just point out we've made a default tick box for Creative Commons accessibility, meaning people can use and reuse this information once it's online without having to check back with you or with us all the time. We've made that a default tick, but it is able to be unticked. Using OpenGov, whether you're someone who's using it for you're working in government and you're researching something within for your job in government, or whether you're a member of the public and you're using it for who knows what purpose. You're interested in New South Wales, you're a journalist perhaps looking for information. There are a whole range of features that makes it a very powerful resource, including full text searching across all the publications that are in the repository, metadata searching, so searching across the tags and the titles and so on, thumbnails, extracted text, ability to refine your search by year, type or agency, sorting search results by relevance and date, and you're of course also able to download the publications locally. Most of them are in PDF, and we have a range of formats that we can accept, which are in the FAQs, but we're hoping always to expand that variety of formats as we move ahead. And now, in a slightly foolhardy manner, I'm going to attempt a live demo. So here we go. I have to firstly make sure that the... I know. Okay. Okay, so just to... Am I online? Okay. So can you hear me if I show? Okay. There's a very simple search box, and what the search is doing, as I said, is it's searching across not only the metadata about the titles in OpenGov, but also full text, and displays them in either order of relevance or by date. And then if you are interested in a publication, as I said, it has this rather nice display window which offers you the actual document, thumbnails of all the pages, and then text of any of the whole document. So you have a full text that can be reused and repurposed in other ways. It's quite good because the full text option is actually pretty good even for the older scanned publications. So you can see here the police force report from 1868. Poor old thing. It's a bit spotty. But even that has pretty reasonable text recovery. So that's quite a nice feature. And as you can see over here, it's linked to the agency for the police, which is registered in the archival control system. Another thing I wanted to show you was... I don't know why I picked these words. They just came to me this morning. there's, as I said, the ability to refine searches by agency, by type. So, for example, we have 195 annual reports that mention horses, 139 government gazettes and 2 reports, whatever they are. Or indeed, we might want to just zoom in on Harness Racing New South Wales and have a look there. The other features are a date sliding graph which allows you to zoom in on particular dates, and that's the place where you can download the actual PDF of the publication. The other feature of OpenGov which is worth pointing out to you is that we also now have an application programming interface, or an API, which allows this incredibly rich resource full of data and government information to be much more usable for people that want to create apps, that want to maybe integrate their own website with OpenGov if you're within government, data journalists, citizens who simply want to make use of this data in ways that we possibly don't really know. So what this does is it presents results from OpenGov in machine-readable formats. For example, if I want, if I want to have a look at the all the publications for the Botanic Gardens Trust, and I want to do it, have that data in a machine-readable form. There it is. It's not very good for human reading, but that's something that someone could pick up and reuse that data in an application or on their own website, for example. Similarly, if I go to a particular publication and I want all of that information presented to me in text, there it is, or indeed, again, in JSON. So this is the sort of thing that when I went down to the Linux 2013 conference in January and showed a room full of geeks, they got super excited. So that was good. I think, just double check, I've shown you all the things I wanted to show you. I guess the main thing that I wanted to convey in just giving you this look at OpenGov is that this is a resource that we hope will not only provide huge benefits to people who are looking for New South Wales government information, but also to agencies and councils and universities, in that there is a place that will take on that responsibility of maintaining over time publications that you want to make sure are available to people down the track, but you don't have the wherewithal or the time to preserve and to protect and to make sure remain accessible on your website and all of that sort of stuff. There are some detailed FAQs that are on there, which give you a lot more information about how to log on, how to use the site, what you can upload, and so on. And there's also an email address. If you have any questions, you can contact us. Anyway, you can contact us. I think it's on my slide, actually. Sorry. Yes. You can contact us, and the email address is opengov@records.newsouthwales.gov.au. It's on the website, and hopefully if you click on it, it won't try to open your Outlook client. I think that's it. So are there any questions?
Yeah, OpenGov at where?
Where?
OpenGov.
Records. Anything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. There.
Yeah, it's just in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's the email.
Well, clearly I'm not a geek, but I'm super excited. I think this is something that will be just marvellous. And you can see how it fits in with what Dawn and Sonia were talking about. You can see how this fits in with this whole strategy, the whole of government, and it's just going to become a huge resource if you, the community of expertise, use it and tell your people to use it. Now, I'm sure there's going to be lots of questions. Otherwise, we'll be having a cup of tea. And oh, there you go. After you.
A cluster of questions. Now, Chalinda?
It looks great. I'm thinking of it as a records aspect. Is that, for example, I think the easy one, annual report. We receive the annual reports like hard copy and digital copies. Now, just for example, if the UDA says we keep annual reports for 7 years, mm-hmm. I'm not doing disposal anymore and get rid of it, but as a question, does this bypass the disposal? I have to keep for 7 years instead of put and the current report straight on there. I'll find out everything I've wrote on that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm glad you asked that. Thank you, because I didn't address this. We do intend that by uploading your annual reports to OpenGov, you're fulfilling your obligations to transfer and annual reports at State Archives to us. And we've got the intention, and I know Mandy and I had a conversation about that. I'm looking around for
the second part of that question. We're moving to a decentralised areas. So, for example, annual reports is published by another area, it would be better communication to do it from that end than rather than coming to records. So I thought about that aspect, and it's with other things as well.
To communicate, and I think once the whole of government communication comes out, because other people other than records people often are the ones who sort of have to put the annual report up on the website, and so we are aware that we need to communicate with a range of people in the agency so they understand that it's there and how to use it.
It's a lot of work.
One of the things you mentioned early on was the changes, say, in this building over the last number of years. And so there would be a lot of documents that are current, but they're not going to put them up on the latest finance and services website. But even state records recently, I realised, like Guidelines 1 has disappeared and some others. It would seem to me this is a great place to put all those kind of things, which still have some currency.
Yes.
You know, but they're not part of the major
cluttering up your
I think that would be across government.
I agree, and there's certainly no scope limitations from our point of view. If an agency, for example, like State Records, has past versions of published guidelines and other materials, I think it makes perfect sense to push them through to OpenGov so they're there and you can clearly see, well, this was current in, 2000. And so I'm hopeful that as the site matures, we'll be able to, talk to people about doing that kind of thing and get some of that kind of content into the site.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Sarah.
Okay.
Hi.
Lorraine Taylor. When you were doing the search, is it just searching the type or is it searching the content of the document as well?
It searches across document content as well. It pushes up results where you have, say, police in the title will get preference, but you can it will search document content as well. And so the search then highlights in yellow where that word appears, and sometimes it's in the title, sometimes in the actual content.
Yeah, can I just ask another question? With the government gazettes, you've got them from 1991 onwards.
2001.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The project about retrospectively digitising older gazettes, is that still underway?
But that's just based on me sort of seeing DPC's website. I'm not directly involved in that. But we're working with them, and they want to just publish the current government gazette to OpenGov and link to us, so they can sort of push that responsibility off from their own site, which is... good for us.
Fine with us. Yep.
So have you actually got a guide on the site for what type of information you can publish on?
Yeah, it's all in the FAQs and it lists file formats that we can take at present. So, for example, at the moment we can't capture web pages. We're quite document sort of centric, so PDF, Word, PowerPoint we can take. We're hopeful that we'll get sort of support to continue to develop the features and the things that the site can do and look at other formats. But yeah, that's all in the FAQs.
Can you put something underneath the agency as a logo itself, or do you want to
No, we're having agencies load content themselves, and with the Publications New South Wales site, which used to be run through DFS or DSTAR, as it was then, I think. I think they used to go around and harvest content from agencies. They had an officer whose job it was to sort of harvest stuff and put it on there. Our model, being lacking in such a person, is to really have agencies upload their own content and to communicate with them about doing that. Oh, and one feature I did mean to mention that we're just working on now, should be out soon, is when you log in as for your agency in that dashboard area, you'll be able to get stats about how popular your publications are, and see, you know, how many hits they're getting.
I was just wondering, I noticed on your dashboard that there was a delete button.
Yes.
I'm just wondering how that works and what that does. Like, are you able to remove content?
That's probably a little misleading, because I have super duper administrator.
Okay, you're
super duper. Yeah. So what you can do is you can publish something and just hold it in draft and then ask for it to be and then sort of keep and then publish it a bit later. If you've published something by accident, you can just email us and we'll deal with it. We do have a few super users who have extra powers, if you like. I should just mention, the publishing process at present is that you come on, you enter the metadata, and you hit publish, and there is, at that point, a moderation process, and we have staff who just double-check that the metadata looks okay, it's not something wildly inappropriate or, and then hit publish. But that does happen very quickly. And you get an order, you get a little email letting you know when it's gone live and provides you with a link.
I've got about a dozen questions, but don't worry, I'm not going to.
There's Bob Morning Tea, everyone will
come and. But
the one that's
probably of most interest to me is, how are you aligning with current legislative requirements? So, for instance, if somebody had a government report that they did put up, thinking that it was okay to put up, but it turned out it had name data in it, and they haven't redacted part of that report or something like that, is there any process for you guys to check that, or is the onus completely on the submitting agency to have that right before it goes up, and to meet all other, I'm just making up an example, but any other legislative, whatever, mantra?
Yeah, I mean, our approach
with
that...
Do you want to repeat the question?
Oh, yes. So the question was about how do we manage, people putting up content that might, for example, have name identified information or something that was sensitive that shouldn't go up. I mean, I guess that question applies to any agency putting information on their own website. With OpenGov, there are a couple of things. One is we're sort of focusing at present on stuff that's listed as eligible to be published under the Government Information Public Access Act under Open Access, which has a very sort of specific set of types of documents. So that provides guidance, as well as annual reports and so on. We have a disclaimer that does talk about, you must be aware that this is, feel confident that what you're putting up is appropriate for publication on the web. But I guess like any, government agency putting information out there, that all the usual sort of checks and balances around privacy and so on will apply.
Yeah.